Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is an episode of Paranormal Stories. In this episode, I'm talking about children who have had a near-death experience. Among the most compelling and enduring accounts in near-death experience studies are those reported by children. Their experiences, recorded in hospitals, recovery rooms, and follow-up interviews, share a clarity and emotional precision that have drawn sustained attention from researchers. Unlike adults, children generally lack extensive exposure to theological doctrine, cultural NDE narratives, or symbolic frameworks for interpreting death. Yet again and again, their experiences display striking coherence, depth, and consistency. What follows is not an overview of the phenomenon, but a retelling of documented cases, as recorded by named researchers and preserved in published literature. These are the voices of children who nearly died and returned with memories they insisted were real. One of the most frequently cited pediatric cases was documented by Melvin Morse in Closer to the Light. Katie, a 7-year-old girl, nearly drowned while swimming. She was pulled from the water unconscious and not breathing. During resuscitation, Katie later reported that she found herself above her body, watching doctors and nurses attempt to revive her. She described the hospital room accurately, including the placement of medical equipment and the actions of the staff. Morse later verified these details with hospital personnel. Katie described feeling calm and detached. She did not experience pain or fear. According to Morse's account, Katie said she could see her body, but did not feel connected to it. "I wasn't in it," she explained. "I was watching it." What followed, Katie said, was movement away from the room and into a space filled with light. She described the light as not blinding, but as comforting. She told Morse that the light felt like love, a phrase that would recur across many pediatric cases. Another case documented by Morse involved Crystal, a young girl who nearly died from heart failure following surgery. While clinically unresponsive, Crystal later reported an encounter with a woman who spoke gently to her and reassured her that she would be all right. After her recovery, Crystal described the woman in detail. When shown family photographs, she identified the woman as her biological grandmother, someone she had never met and whose existence had never been discussed with her. The grandmother had died years before Crystal was born. Morse records that Crystal did not frame the encounter as supernatural. She simply stated that the woman was there and knew her. The encounter carried emotional familiarity rather than surprise. This pattern, recognition without prior knowledge, appears repeatedly in named pediatric cases and is one of the reasons children's accounts have remained central to near-death research. In another case, described in Closer to the Light, Morse recounts the experience of a young boy who suffered cardiac arrest during a medical procedure. After being resuscitated, the boy described leaving his body and travelling to what he called heaven. The child described entering a place filled with light and colour, and meeting figures he identified as angels. According to Morse, the boy said the angels communicated without speaking, conveying reassurance and warmth. Most notably, the boy said he was told that he had to return because it was not his time. The message was not delivered as a command, but as information. The boy reported feeling disappointed about returning, stating that the place he visited felt peaceful and safe. One of the most consistent features across documented child NDEs is the absence of judgment, punishment, or fear-based imagery. PMH Atwater, who has collected and analysed hundreds of cases, has emphasised this point repeatedly in her work, including her book, Children of the New Millennium. Atwater documents cases in which children describe environments of light, landscapes resembling gardens or fields, and encounters with loving presences, but almost never describe life reviews framed around moral evaluation. Instead, children report acceptance and belonging. In one case, Atwater describes, a child who nearly died from meningitis reported entering a luminous space and being surrounded by beings that felt kind and happy. The child did not report being questioned or evaluated in any way. The focus of the experience was relational, not corrective. Emily's case, also documented by Morse, involved a near-fatal illness that left her unconscious for several days. After recovery, Emily spoke insistently about having gone somewhere else. She described a place of intense beauty and peace, and said she encountered people who felt familiar, though she could not name them. Emily told her parents that she was upset about returning. "I did not want to come back," she said, according to Morse's notes. Her parents reported that Emily exhibited a marked reduction in fear of death afterward. She spoke calmly about dying and reassured others that it was not scary. In a case presented at conferences organized by the International Association of Near-Death Studies, a young girl who suffered cardiac arrest described observing her mother from above the hospital room while she herself was unconscious. The child later described her mother crying in a hallway outside the room. She accurately described her mother's posture and emotional state. Hospital staff later confirmed that the mother had been in that location during the resuscitation. The child did not express surprise at being able to see beyond the room. She simply stated that she could see everything. Across named cases, children struggle to describe the quality of light they encounter. Morse notes that children consistently insist the light is not merely visual, it is emotional and relational. One child told Morse that the light knew me, another said it loved me. These descriptions appear in multiple independent cases across different hospitals and circumstances. Atwater emphasizes that children often describe the light as alive, responsive, and intelligent. It is not an object, but a presence. Follow-up work by Melvin Morse and PMH Atwater shows that many children who reported near-death experiences exhibited enduring changes that extended well beyond the immediate recovery period. These changes were not dramatic personality shifts, but subtle, persistent alterations in how children related to death, emotion, and meaning. One of the most frequently noted after-effects was a pronounced reduction in fear of death. Children often spoke calmly about dying and, in some cases, reassured parents or siblings during later illnesses or moments of distress. Morse records that these statements were typically framed as recollections rather than beliefs, with children insisting they were describing something they had personally experienced. Increased emotional sensitivity was also commonly observed. Parents reported that children seemed unusually attuned to others' feelings, sometimes identifying distress before it was expressed. Atwater noted that this heightened empathy could make children more compassionate, but occasionally more vulnerable to emotional overload, particularly in chaotic or emotionally intense settings. Several children showed noticeable shifts in values, becoming less focused on competition or external rewards, and more concerned with fairness, kindness, and relationships. In some cases, parents described a new seriousness or reflectiveness that did not resemble anxiety or withdrawal, but rather a quiet reorientation of priorities. The memory of the near-death experience itself tended to remain vivid and stable over time. Unlike ordinary childhood memories, these accounts did not fade or fragment. Children often described the experience as something they carried with them rather than something they actively recalled. Some spoke less about it as they grow older, not because of doubt, but because they found it difficult to communicate or felt misunderstood. Morse and Atwater both observed that children consistently maintain the reality of their experiences years later. The documented near-death experiences of children challenge assumptions about consciousness, memory, and spiritual awareness. These are not anonymous anecdotes or folkloric tales. They are named cases recorded by physicians, psychologists, and researchers and followed over time. Today I was talking about children who have had a near-death experience. And my book on verified near-death experiences is on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.